The following news flash is brought to you by the Lone Star Lowdown, providing your daily bulletins for the commodities market, today in history, news updates, and the inside scoop into the tides of the alternative. Markets for Friday, the 8th of June, 2016, are currently trading with gold at $1,365.91 an ounce, silver $20.22 an ounce, Texas crude $45.14 a barrel, and Bitcoin is currently sitting at about 662 U.S. currency. Today in history, the year 1947. Reports are broadcast that a UFO crash landed in Roswell, New Mexico, in what became known as the Roswell UFO incident. By far the most cataloged, controversial, and covered-up UFO crash in American history, the Roswell incident marks the beginning of modern-day ufology. Today in history. In recent news, during a peaceful anti-police brutality protest Thursday night in Dallas, Texas, 25-year-old Micah Xavier Johnson from Mesquite, Texas, a military veteran in the U.S. Army Reserve from March 2009 to April 2015, and combat soldier with deployment in Afghanistan from late 2013 to mid-2014, who had no criminal record or known terror ties, suddenly began a police targeting sniper spree. Though Dallas Police Chief David Brown did suggest that other suspects assisted in the coordination along with law enforcement, previously stating that three people were in custody and that multiple shooters were involved, Johnson told negotiators that he was acting solo. The reason for his spree, as he then told them, was due to the two African-American men recently shot by police in Louisiana and Minnesota. Five police officers were killed and seven officers wounded, along with two non-law enforcement citizens who were also injured. Johnson was eventually killed by a bomb drone after several hours of standoff negotiations with police in a parking garage. Federal law enforcement are now saying that Johnson was the only shooter. This is just the deadliest of the shooting sprees that has been occurring nationwide, where gunmen in Tennessee, Missouri, and Georgia have recently targeted and killed police officers. Google is testing new cryptography algorithms that hopefully quantum computing in the future might not be able to decipher. The fear is that processing power offered by soon-to-emerge quantum computers could be enough to decrypt any internet communications that were recorded today. So in order to preemptively future-proof today's internet communications, Google is deploying what it's calling post-quantum cryptography, testing its effectiveness with their browser, Chrome Canary. For the test, they will be using a cryptographic algorithm called New Hope. However, with the test lasting 2 years, Google hopes it can replace the algorithm with something more up-to-date down the line. This is Brooke Rohde with your lowdown for July 8th, 2016.
Hi, you're with Truth News Radio Australia on the 8th of October 2016. My name's Hereward Fenton. Great to be with you today. In today's show, I'm going to be focusing on Syria, and I'm going to be looking at an organisation which has been in the media spotlight quite a bit recently, known as the White Helmets. Now, this volunteer organisation is described in Wikipedia as a volunteer civil defence organisation that operates in rebel-controlled Syria. And their goal is to provide first responder support to people who have been injured in air attacks and any form of bombardment by the Syrian regime. So they operate behind the rebel lines, and they've been actually nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize and are lauded with praise in Western media. And to be honest, I hadn't really paid much attention to it. I had heard of them, but and it sounds very noble, you know, white helmets. It sounds tremendous. You know, they must be people who are doing good if they're wearing white helmets. And recently some interviews have popped up which have completely exploded the myth about who the White Helmets really are. And there is a kind of a back and forth about this on the internet. There are, of course, mainstream and even many semi-alternative news sites that are propping up the official position of the White Helmet organization as being this purely a noble enterprise. But I've got some pretty damning material to share with you today on that front. And again, you know, when I started to think about it as well, I realized, yes, the use of this term White Helmet, it's a classic sort of propagandistic terminology. And it looks, again, like so many things we've seen, like a PR concept that was conceived in part of some think tank. And we know that the White Helmets are supported by US NGOs. So they've got a tremendous amount of support, and they've had a massive amount of funding from various sources around the world. And we'll get into that in some of the interviews that are coming up. And some of these American think tank organizations would have come up with this idea of White Helmets. You know, how do we package this? We want to have an organization which can provide a propaganda meme to aid with our sort of demonization of the Assad regime. We may also want to use them as a conduit to move money and possibly arms into the conflict zones, and we want to do it in a way which is likely to avoid scrutiny. And so the White Helmet becomes a tremendous marketing coup, really. But look, we'll get into that in a lot more detail. Just before we do that, though, I want to just briefly address some recent breaking news, because there have been some new emails that have been released from Wikipedia. And this is in relation to Hillary Clinton. And there's just one particular quote that is currently up on Breitbart.com. And by the way, I want to point out that the websites that are promoting this other claim that Hillary had said that Bernie Sanders supporters are a bucket of losers, this is a false claim, this is a hoax. And, you know, please don't spread that around. That was put up on a site actually before the WikiLeaks emails were released. And it is, you know, palpably absurd. She wouldn't have said that. It's also a play on the phrase basket of deplorables, bucket of losers. It's a hoax. It's a joke. Don't pay any attention to that. You will see a lot of sites repeating that. But I want to talk about something that's more credible. It's up on Breitbart. I think it's been properly researched. I haven't obviously had time to get into actually looking at the WikiLeaks material myself. It's very, very time-consuming to do all this. And my time is limited, as everyone else's. But I will just read to you here a quote from one of the emails. And these are, let me just explain what the emails are. They're actually, they're not just emails. They are transcripts of speeches that Hillary Clinton gave to Goldman Sachs. So they were private events. They were private speeches. And till now, they've never been released to the public. And in one of the speeches, Hillary says the following: "My dream is a hemispheric common market with open trade and open borders, sometime in the future, with energy that is as green and sustainable as we can get it, powering growth and opportunity for every person in the hemisphere." Now, I just want to pick that apart a little, because what she's saying here is a very common theme among the progressive left, to kind of merge green concepts with trade concepts with a sort of pipe dream of some kind of future that's going to be better for everyone, which, although is not really tinged with any particular socialist meme, certainly, well, actually, that's a complex one, because the open trade and open borders meme has actually been advanced by the neoconservatives, but and actually opposed by people like Bernie Sanders, who come more from the socialist camp. But it is advanced by someone like Hillary Clinton, who seeks to pull in those socialist-oriented left-leaning people with a nice kind of utopian vision, but actually with a hidden barb in it, which is actually going to really degrade people's quality of life. But because it's merged with a concept of a green economy, again, that pacifies people and makes them feel that it must all be good. Look, she's green, she wants to do green things, she must be good. But really, open trade and open borders is been a terrible problem. And for her to want to expand that and extend that, it creates terrible problems in Western economies. And what it does is it drags, rather than sort of lifting up the developing world, it drags down the developed world. And from so many sources, we've seen indications that this is in fact what the shadowy elites actually would like to see. They would like to see the Western world become degraded to a level where it is more on a par with what we're seeing in large parts of the rest of the world. And of course, when we talk about open borders, when we talk about open trade, what that actually means is that organisations that are working with, say, companies in China producing material, if they have a more open access to trade, this, of course, eviscerates the economy of countries like the United States that have a high standard of living and have previously had a large manufacturing sector, because in China, slave labour is order of the day, is par for the course. And in many parts of the world, and many developing places, workers' conditions, the sort of disparity between incomes of the very rich and the struggling poor and the people who work in factories, etc., are extremely wide. This enables those countries to export into the West at ridiculously low prices. So it perpetuates exploitation and slavery in those countries while eviscerating the economies of the West. And if we were to compare what Hillary has said just in this short quote here with what Donald Trump has proposed, where he wants to protect the economy of the United States, and that would have a ripple effect on other developed world economies, I assure you, we can see indeed why Donald Trump has such support. I mean, he does have massive support. But of course, and this is probably where we're branching into another topic, but unfortunately, because Hillary represents sort of iconically almost a concept of the progressive left, of the green movement, people who are opposed to the many, many bad effects of rampant growth and rampant capitalism. At the moment, it does appear in the polls that Hillary does have the edge. And, you know, if I were a betting man, I'd be saying, well, she's going to get in, folks, because no one can say Trump is really ahead at the moment. Of course, the polls may be slightly manipulated. And of course, on election day, we may see some fudging of the figures too. And it's that close that it won't take much. It won't take much of a fiddle to get Hillary over the line. And, of course, we know she has the support of the establishment. So, anyway, that's just my take on that particular situation. But, you know, if people listened and really concentrated and thought about the things that are actually being said by the candidates, they would realise that that it's not just a question of two equally bad people, right? This is kind of one meme that's actually being put forward a lot now by people who are not pro-Hillary, but they're certainly against Trump as well. They just say it's two bad apples, you know. It's really not that simple. Trump has a lot of qualities, qualities of honesty and openness and of actually supporting some core, I mean, some real needs of the American people. That are a serious threat to the establishment, and if you don't recognise that, then you're just being blinkered, you're being blinded. And of course, there's a lot of negatives with Trump, and I certainly, you know, would not support him unconditionally, and I'm totally against his positions on torture, and I'm against his floated ideas of banning Muslim people, although he has backed off from that, but. To say, well, it's just, you know, apples, it's Tweedledum and Tweedledee is not correct. I mean, there is a clear choice here for anyone who has a room temperature IQ and is concerned about their future and the future of their children. Anyway, we're going to break. When we come back, back to Syria and back to talking about the white helmets. Stay with us.
That the Logos Radio Network is a truly listener-supported radio network. On top of the on-air talent, producers, and other hardworking individuals working behind the scenes, Logos Radio Network is kept on the air by the generous support of listeners like you. And we appreciate our loyal listeners making contributions every year in our annual fundraisers, which help keep the lights on and Logos Radio Network on the air. Head on over to LogosRadioNetwork.com to make your contribution. Every $25 donation enters you for a chance to win prizes from Central Texas Gunworks. First prize being a Spiked Skull lower receiver. Second prize being a Taurus Curve.
10 winners will receive gift cards from All About Vapor.
And if you donate your $25 contribution early enough, you'll also receive a complimentary jar of My Magic Mud. Donations by all major credit cards are accepted, as well as contributions by Bitcoin. The Logos Radio Network fundraiser. Head on over to LogosRadioNetwork.com for more information and to donate to keep the Logos Radio Network on the air.
NonGMOSolutions.com is now a proud sponsor of the Logos Radio Network with promo code LOGOS. We thank you for the opportunity to be your source for New Manna Foods, the leader in high-quality food that you will truly enjoy. You'll find gluten-free options, and all products are free from high-fructose corn syrup, aspartame, soy, and MSG. Whether you're on a tight budget, looking for options to reduce food cost without compromising health, or securing long-term 25-year storable food, for an uncertain future, then non-GMOsolutions.com is your common sense answer. Take advantage of a 10% discount with promo code LOGOS. No longer will you compromise taste and quality for full-term shelf life or eat poor quality food due to cost. Check out our flex pay options and design a no-contract plan to satisfy your needs. Go to non-GMOsolutions.com today and get 10% off with promo code LOGOS. That's non-GMOsolutions.com with promo code LOGOS.
Men and women of Earth, may I have your attention? This is Herewood Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And I'm going to move on now to talk about this organization, this volunteer organization known as the White Helmets. And look, they must be the good guys, right? They wear white helmets. I mean, you know, all of your conditioning from childhood going back to the black and white movies that you saw with the good guys in the white hat. I mean, you know, come on. You have to believe the White Helmets. So let's start actually with some official mainstream perspectives on this from our very own wonderful ABC, that's the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, and they did a piece on this on the 7:30 report on the 23rd of September 2016. So we'll start with that and then we'll move on to some other slightly different perspectives. Here we go.
A new Netflix documentary called The White Helmets gives a close-up view of the terrifying situation in Aleppo and the vital work of the volunteers. Joanna Natasagara is the film's producer and she joined me a short time ago from London. A warning, this contains some distressing images. Joanna, thanks for your time.
Morning, Hayden.
Well, I must say, having seen your film, what strikes me about it is the bravery and the spirit of these Syrian volunteers. How are they coping with the destruction that's been dealt out not only to their country but to their city of Aleppo?
I think you can imagine how they're dealing. I mean, what you see in the documentary is the story behind the news. You see the headlines every day in Aleppo and in the rest of Syria of daily bombs, of daily attacks. And these are volunteer first responders dealing with those bombs on the ground. Unfortunately, that situation is still happening and they're still responding as we speak.
One of the most incredible scenes in the film is the moment when a baby is rescued from the rubble after 16 hours buried under the rubble. That must have been a moment that stays with each and every person who was there as part of that rescue.
Absolutely. This team from Ansari in Aleppo were there. They were digging for the 16 hours to uncover baby Mahmoud. He's less than a month old. And actually the sad news is Khalid Hara, who you see pull the baby out of that three-story building, actually died a number of weeks ago, responding in another attack, trying to save more people.
What was it like when the baby was reunited in your film a couple of years later after the rescue?
It's a really emotional moment. You're really seeing these, you know, very human interactions and first responders who have saved a baby who then see him at 2 years old running around, laughing, doing all the normal things that a two-year-old does. You can imagine the kind of emotional response for them and for us as a film team. It's a really beautiful moment.
It's very difficult to get your head around from such a long distance how the people there are managing to survive this war. From the conversations you had and the people you met from Syria, do you find that they're somewhat desensitized to the violence, that they don't quite know how to cope, so this is one option for them, it's to try and rescue people?
You know, I don't think we can ever try to understand the horrors that they've been through, and I don't think that we'll really understand that until it's over. But certainly their unconscionable hope is something that's so inspiring to watch. The rest of us seem to struggle to understand a very complex situation in Syria, and you're right, you know, their response is just to keep on trying to save life and keep on trying to look for hope in such a dark situation.
Now, I'm sure you've noticed that the collapse of the ceasefire, and I saw in the news that on Thursday alone there were something like 14 airstrikes in the rebel-held parts of Aleppo. You must be quite concerned about the people who you were interviewing, and are you still in touch? Do you know how they are?
We are in touch. We've been in touch with them since we filmed with them in January, and the situation in Aleppo has just got worse and worse. We're constantly worried for them. We're constantly worried for everyone in Syria. It's an untenable situation. But certainly, you know, they never lose hope, and whilst the world leaders sit around and seem to struggle to find solutions, they continue their work on the ground, doing this incredible, heroic work.
What was very clear also was the threat posed by Russia, that constantly when they're looking up to the skies in Aleppo, it's a Russian warplane which is bombing them. Has that involvement really added a new dimension of danger for the people of Aleppo?
I mean, certainly what we hear from them is that they are neutral, they are impartial, they will save anyone on all sides of the conflict, but that they, like other humanitarian groups, are being targeted by the regime and its allies. Certainly, you know, you see also in the film not just the White Helmets being targeted, but the bombing of a Médecins Sans Frontières hospital and the doctors there being targeted. I don't think that in any war humanitarian aid workers should be targeted, and certainly the White Helmets are asking for that to stop.
That's right. We did see President Bashar al-Assad of Syria overnight, actually. He was asked about the White Helmets and whether they should win the Nobel Peace Prize, and his response was to suggest that they are politicised. Did you notice that at all in your dealings with this group?
Not at all. And again, you know, there is a complex situation with people with real agendas. Certainly, these are the people in Syria who seem to have the least agenda. Their agenda is to save life. They've saved over 60,000 lives so far. They're nominated for the Nobel Prize this year. They have endorsers across the world, both on the ground in Syria and in the Annals of Power in many countries. They won the Right Livelihood Award yesterday. So certainly, if their agenda is to save life, then it's one that I would support.
Okay, I think that's enough of that particular report. Let's turn now to consider a different perspective on the White Helmets, and let's begin with President Bashar al-Assad himself, and I have a short snippet here that was referred to there in the 7:30 report, where he was asked to comment and on his opinion about the White Helmets receiving the Nobel Peace Prize.
Does that mean you would support the recent nomination of the White Helmets for a Nobel Peace Prize?
It's not about the White Helmet, whether they are credible or not, because some organizations are politicized, but they use different humanitarian masks and umbrellas just to implement certain agenda.
Okay, that particular snippet was actually included in the 7:30 report piece, but they did not investigate it any further. They didn't look into the politicisation angle any further than to ask the film producer herself. And this is a typical tactic that we see in basically negating or ignoring criticism, analysis of what is really going on in Syria, is that whenever some conflicting piece of information pops up, it is sometimes given a very, very brief exposure. Then we shift to the focus that the media wants us to believe in and completely ignore and never actually even talk about these questions ever again. Now, the question of whether the White Helmets has been politicised is something that has been discussed quite a bit. And I'm going to begin with an interview that was conducted on the Ron Paul Liberty Report on the 29th of September with a journalist, Vanessa Beely. And this entire interview is extremely good and really, really, you should listen to the whole thing. I'm just going to play the particular part of it where she is asked specifically about the White Helmets. Here we go.
But I want to go into the propaganda a little bit, because the propaganda has been like nothing we have ever seen on this, the Western propaganda. And now here's something I know that you know about, because I read your writing about it. And these are the so-called White Helmets. And they're portrayed here in the U.S. as selfless humanitarians that rush in the face of danger and save little children from the rubble. And they're always photographed doing this. But there is a different side to these so-called White Helmets. And I think you know quite a bit about it, Vanessa.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for bringing them up. As we know, they're sort of being fated and celebrated and iconized, really, as heroes and saviors of humanity. One of the things that I did while I was in Syria, and I did it deliberately as part of my investigation into this group, was I visited the real Syria civil defense in Aleppo, in Tartus, in Latakia, and the headquarters in Damascus, which is right in the Jaish al-Islam territory, very close by to Jobar. So they're constantly under attack from terrorists, mortar fire and snipers.
We'll just pause it there. We're going to break. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, and we're investigating the White Helmets, who they really are. they really represent. Stay with us.
Here's one more reason not to trust governments and databases. Citizens in Missouri discovered outside companies obtain their driver's license information, including names, addresses, and birth dates. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be right back with more.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches, and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Driver's license databases are supposed to be private, but information resellers got a hold of Missouri's records and put them up for sale. Angry citizens filed a class action lawsuit against Missouri Department of Motor Vehicle employees and the information resellers. A court settlement requires ShadowSoft and the source for public data to return the driver's license information and stop selling it. However, they still have their dirty paws on DMV records from other states, including Texas, Florida, Ohio, Wisconsin, Mississippi, Idaho, Minnesota, and Iowa. If you're in one of those states, contact your state lawmakers and ask them to put a stop to the sale of your personal information. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
HempUSA.org has moved and expanded its operations for faster worldwide shipping. Our product line has grown from 5 to nearly 100 items in less than 5 years. Our food is grown naturally, always chemical-free, not found in stores. Great for daily intake and perfect for your emergency storage shelter. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org and see what our powders, seeds, and oil can do for you.
Rule of Law Radio is proud to offer the Rule of Law Traffic Seminar. In today's America, we live in an us-against-them society, and if we the people are ever going to have a free society, then we're going to have to stand and defend our own rights. Among those rights are the right to travel freely from place to place, the right to act in our own private capacity, and most importantly, the right to due process of law. Traffic courts afford us the least expensive opportunity to learn how to enforce and preserve our rights through due process. Former Sheriff's Deputy Eddie Craig, in conjunction with Rule of Law Radio, has put together the most comprehensive teaching tool available that will help you understand what due process is and how to hold courts to the rule of law. You can get your own copy of this invaluable material by going to ruleoflawradio.com and ordering your copy today. By ordering now, you'll receive a copy of Eddie's book, The Texas Transportation Code, The Law Versus the Lie, video and audio of the original 2009 seminar, hundreds of research documents, and other useful resource material. Learn how to fight for your rights with the help of this material from ruleoflawradio.com. Order your copy today, and together we can have the free society we all want and deserve.
Truth News Radio Australia, and we're going to continue with the interview here that was done on Ron Paul Liberty Report with Vanessa Beely, who is a journalist who recently returned from Aleppo, and she gets into the question of white helmets, the White Helmet Organisation, who they are, what they represent, and what the money they're being given is actually being used for.
What I found out from the real Syria Civil Defense basically backed up the research that I'd been doing up until then. This is fundamentally, the White Helmets, in my opinion, are fundamentally an attempt by the US and by NATO states to create a shadow state inside Syria, which again is a very familiar pattern. They did this in Iraq, and they are definitely doing this in Syria. The White Helmets, despite saying that they are an NGO and that they're independent and that they have no funding from interested parties in the conflict in Syria, they're receiving probably now around $100 million at a conservative estimate from the US via USAID, $23 million. From the UK, we had Boris Johnson yesterday saying that he was going to up the ante to £32 million. Japan is now involved. Denmark, Holland, Germany the other day confirmed that they would give them $7 million. Holland. So we have a cabal, a sort of a coalition of the white helmets, if you like. And $100 million we're supposed to believe is going to fund 3,000 operatives in a supposed cobbled together humanitarian NGO. This is the kind of money that you put into an army. It's not the kind of money that you put into a very simple NGO. We know for a fact they fabricate evidence. That's been proven in my reports. We know for a fact that they are sectarian. When the Madaya propaganda broke in January 2016, they were photographed calling for the burning and destruction of two Idlib villages, Kafraya and Fua, that have been under siege by the U.S. terrorists, Ar al-Sham, since March 2015, and have lost 1,700 civilians under shelling and sniper fire. And the White Helmets were calling for their further destruction. We have numerous photographs showing them armed, showing them basically acting as terrorists, and then quickly putting on the white helmet when they're needed to make another promotional video. I mean, I'm being flippant here, but this is genuinely what is happening. When I spoke to the Syria Civil Defense, the real Syria Civil Defense, and again, I will reiterate, the white helmets are being used to eradicate yet another Syrian state institution, which is the real Syria Civil Defense that has been in existence for 63 years, since 1953. It's registered with the International Civil Defense Organization, which is affiliated to the UN, to the WHO, to OCHA, to Red Cross and Red Crescent. It's a fully certified civil defense organization. So why are the millions not going to this organization to help save civilians in Syria? This organization, the real Syria Civil Defense, is working in both terrorist and civilian areas, and it's rescuing people every day with no recognition from Western media. And not one Western media pundit has gone to visit the real Syria Civil Defense in 5.5 years of war. That's criminal in my book. Mm. The White Helmets, just very quickly coming back to them, when I spoke to the Syria Civil Defense, particularly in Aleppo, they told me that in 2012, when the terrorists invaded, they took over the real Syria Civil Defense units there. These terrorists then later became the White Helmets. One of the crew members of the real Syria Civil Defense that's now in West Aleppo, it gets a little bit convoluted, he told me basically that when they came, they said to him, they threatened him, they said, you have to stay and work with us, you have to help us set this up. He escaped, he left his family behind, he had no choice. When he escaped, the so-called White Helmets put his name on all the checkpoints. So if he were to come back to visit his family in East Aleppo, he would be executed. Mm. They stole ambulances, all of the ambulances, three of their fire engines. They murdered other real civil defense members. They kidnapped others. They drove others out of East Aleppo into West Aleppo. And this is not an isolated incident. Basically, this same procedure happened in Idlib, in Deir ez-Zor, in Raqqa. Across Syria, in other words. So, you know, this organization is basically, as far as I'm concerned, they're a terrorist support group. They're acting as terrorists in many instances, and they are terrorists, and yet they're being described by our governments as humanitarian first responders.
Well, they're also described as volunteers. So if all of these guys are volunteers, honestly, where does this $100 million go? I mean, even a super big NGO, even, you know, the Heritage Foundation or something, $100 million goes a long way. Where do you think this money's going? Everyone's a volunteer, yet they've got $100 million.
I think it's a front for funding the arms trade into Syria, to be quite honest. And if you think about it, this is a perfect front. They're first responders. They're traveling backwards. They're trained in Turkey. So they're coming from Turkey into Syria all the time with trucks, with fire engines. If you look at the White Helmets in Idlib, their YouTube videos, it's like a parade of all the equipment they're being given by their various sponsors in the EU and in the US.
Okay, I think that is enough to give you the general perspective here, which is a complete 180 degrees from what we just saw on the ABC 7:30 report and the film there that they were talking about. Now, I mean, somebody's lying here, okay? I mean, either this journalist is lying or just completely deluded, or the ABC and these and that filmmaker we saw are collaborating in a massive deception. I mean, what is the truth? But when you put together, when you connect the dots, and you consider the history of machinations conducted by Western powers in order to topple regimes that that are not cooperative with their agenda, and particularly with the agenda of Israel, and you know, using sneaky covert means to do it, this really fits in with that quite well. But it does make you stand back in almost in awe at the criminality, my friends, the criminality involved, mainly in the mainstream media. And you know, the worst blame of this, of course, you know, the psychopaths who are doing the killing, the terrorists, of course, they are monstrous criminals, but you know, they're quite small in number and would be powerless unless they were given money, right? They're basically puppets, they're manipulated. But the organizations of the media who make all this possible, to me, are the biggest culprits, are the ones that really should be charged with war crimes and punished in the harshest possible manner. But then, of course, there is no sign that that's going to happen. We're nowhere near getting a breakthrough in terms of public perception about Syria, despite the vast numbers of people on the internet and you yourself listening to this show right now, you know, who are aware of this. You know, the person sitting next to you at work isn't aware of it. The person sitting next to you on the bus isn't aware of it. The people generally in our society are not aware of it. And guess what? They watch TV, they read the major newspapers, they go to the major news websites, and they get their information. And, you know, as Hitler said, lies that are very small lies are likely to be called out, are likely to be exposed. But lies that are so huge, lies that are so grand, don't get caught out, because the average person cannot comprehend the scale of that lying. And indeed, to understand the scale of that lying, you have to actually admit that there is some type of conspiracy going on. And this is, of course, how we get into the whole meme of the conspiracy theorist, because indeed, there is a conspiracy. There is a conspiracy to deceive on the part of the major media cartels all around the world to support an agenda of Western hegemony. And it's very uncomfortable for the average working person paying off a mortgage to have to contemplate this reality. When we come back from the break, I'm going to play another clip, which again is along the same lines, equally devastating. So stay with us. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be right back.
Advances in technology, our lives have greatly improved, except in the area of nutrition. People feed their pets better than they feed themselves, and it's time we changed all that. Our primary defense against aging and disease in this toxic environment is good nutrition. In a world where natural foods have been irradiated, adulterated, and mutilated, Youngevity can provide the nutrients you need. Logos Radio Network gets many requests to endorse all sorts of products, most of which which we reject. We have come to trust Youngevity so much, we became a marketing distributor along with Alex Jones, Ben Fuchs, and many others. When you order from LogosRadioNetwork.com, your health will improve as you help support quality radio. As you realize the benefits of Youngevity, you may want to join us. As a distributor, you can experience improved health, help your friends and family, and increase your income. Order now.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with JurisDictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. JurisDictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem-reaction-solution. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back, you're Truth News Radio. Now, I've got one more clip to play for you today that is from UN Web TV. And these are US Peace Council representatives. And there's one particular speaker who gave an incredibly shocking speech in this panel, along similar lines to what we just saw there with the journalist who'd been in Aleppo. So I'll just play that for you, and I may have some comments as well, but this is quite an important speech, and I certainly recommend the whole clip as well, which I'll put up on the website for you to have a look at. Here we go.
My name is Madeline Hoffman. I'm the director of New Jersey Peace Action. I went as an individual representing myself, but I've been a peace activist for 16 years. And I went because I felt that I went to Syria because I felt that it was important to learn from the Syrian people themselves what was actually happening in Syria, because there has not been enough of or a focused enough response by the peace movement in the United States to what's been going on in Syria. And I can't add a whole lot to what Henry and Al have said, but I want to make this one particular point, because I think it's very important, and it gets to the core of everything that's going on. This is not a civil war in Syria. That's probably the first thing we heard, and we heard it over and over again. It is not President Assad against his own people. It is President Assad and the Syrian people all together in unity against outside forces, outside mercenary forces, terror organizations. The names change every day or every other day to try to protect their identity and maybe keep the connection between the country that funded it and that group kind of a little bit more nebulous. But there are groups, mercenary forces supported by Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, the United States, and underneath it, Israel, the state of Israel. And these outside mercenary forces are the ones that are terrorizing the Syrian people and are attempting to divide the Syrian people. I remember when the U.S. invaded Iraq. Our organization was against it well before the invasion ever began. But once the invasion was over and the United States was setting up a government, we talked to many Iraqis who said, we're not Sunni and Shia. We're not Sunni, Shia, and Kurds, but the United States is trying to divide us that way. And we got exactly the same message when we were in Syria. We are Syrians, as Henry said before, whether you're Christian, Muslim, or other, you're Syrian. And that's one of the things that's enabled the Assad government to withstand 5+ years of this kind of outside attack. When Saddam Hussein, when it was time for the U.S. to unseat Saddam Hussein after years of sanctions and two wars, he fell like that. When it was time, the United States decided time for Gaddafi to go, he fell like that. But when it was time, the United States decided it was time for Assad to go, he did not fall. And why? Because he has the support of 23 million Syrian people, and it was more before all these refugees were created and refugees were sent around the world. The whole idea of regime change, the policy of regime change, if you will, it's illegal under international law. The United States has no right to do that. The United States has no right to decide for the Syrian people who their government leaders should be. And so during my time there in Syria, I felt that over and over again. Who are we? Why are we presuming to know what's best for the Syrian people? And the other part of this that I think people in the United States need to know is that the Assad government provides free health care, free universal health care to everyone. It's part of the government's mission. Free education for everyone from primary school all the way through even to university and medical school. And we met with one person. When we met with this one particular person from the nonviolent opposition, we asked him, well, tell us, what are some of your grievances with the Assad government? And he said, well, you just heard that it costs about $50 a year for people going to medical school. We think that's too high. And he was being somewhat facetious, of course. But these are the kinds of policies that our citizens here in the United States are calling for: tuition-free college, universal health care. So the Assad regime, the Assad government, is in the business of doing this and providing this to the people. And without a doubt, even the nonviolent opposition parties who had issue with issues of democracy or corruption prior to 2011, everyone has thrown themselves in behind the Assad government because that's the best hope, the best bet for the Syrian people.
So that speech there is part of a panel of peace activists who are actually speaking through this vehicle, UN Web TV. So just a couple of points I wanted to make about that. You can see that the type of society that Assad has created in Syria in some ways has parallels with what we saw in Libya, a country which was quite wealthy from oil, and they, similar to Syria, had tremendous free services that they provided to their citizens. But in Syria, we actually see an even more kind of secularist approach where you have Christians and Muslims, the conflict began, where you had Christians and Muslims living together, quite a large Christian population. You had a very, very secular society, and you had people who had an excellent standard of living. So when we consider this whole scenario of the war and the white helmets being portrayed as this heroic organization of people leaping into the conflict zone, you know, Syrians acting to protect and rescue other Syrians. This is just really part of an incredibly sort of diabolical psyop. And I really wish it weren't so. I wish we weren't in a situation where the world had become so dominated by quite dark and quite hegemonic forces as we see today. But that, unfortunately, is the situation in which we exist. Okay, I've got just one more clip to play for you, and this is from a US State Department press conference in relation to White Helmet leader Riyad Saleh, who was denied entry to the US, and he was actually turned back at the airport and sent back to Turkey.
It just strikes me as being a bit inconsistent if you say that this group is wonderful and yet you also ban its leader from coming to the States to collect an award for which, and you say you're going to continue to support the group. I mean, if you have reason to revoke his visa, that he could be a security threat or something like that, why would you continue to support
him? But again, I'm trying to separate this individual from the group.
Right. So the guy is, you're saying that basically he is suspect, but his group is not?
Well, again, I can't speak to the specific allegations against him, Matt. No, I'm sorry. I'm my hands are tied too.
Yeah, but the other thing,
but yes, we're not condemning the group in any way whatsoever. We believe it's doing good work.
If it's the lead group, how do you support this group and he is not allowed to get into the States? This is the question.
I understand that, and you know, all I can say is that
how can you separate the leader of the group from the group?
Well, he's one individual in the group.
But the leader of the group.
And any individual, again, I'm broadening my language here for specific reasons, but any individual in any group suspected of ties or relations with extremist groups or that we had believed to be a security threat to the United States, we would act accordingly. But that does not, by extension, mean we condemn or would cut off ties to the group for which that individual works for.
It just seems a little odd. Can you ask for some clarification? I mean, this just seems bizarre to me. You're giving this guy and his group $23 million. Yes, they do good work, they save lives, but you've revoked his visa for some reason. You won't say why, and it just doesn't make any sense. Why is the U.S. taxpayer supporting a group whose leader you have banned from coming to the States?
Well, I mean, look, I'm always, willing to try to get more information.
Please.
In this case, I'm a bit restricted by the fact that
for the average person, visa. I don't think this makes any sense.
So the paradox of power, the paradox of Machiavellian machinations, obviously the leader of the White Helmets has been separately identified as being connected to terrorism. And under the elaborate, complex umbrella of Homeland Security, has been banned from entry to the United States. So, and I think it's pretty clear what's going on here. And I know everyone listening to this show, perhaps bar some skeptics who may disagree with me, but most people who listen to my show are already aware of these things. But I think it's very important to bring this information together, and I hope what I've done today is useful, because I've put together some relevant quotes, some relevant interviews. What we need to do is we need to redouble our efforts to reach out, to communicate to the rest of the world, and that includes the person sitting next to you on the bus, the person sitting next to you at work. It's really hard because you've got to understand, they have just had this avalanche of programming put into them, which is completely false. But I mean, this compared to many other topics, we have very, very solid info, and there's good research coming now from some of these journalists and activists who've been directly on the ground in Syria, who can prove the lies of the mainstream media. We are making some inroads. So I think there's reason for optimism. That's our show for this week. I will be back next week. Harold Fenton, Truth News Radio, signing off.
Would you like to make more definite progress in your walk with God? Bibles for America is offering a free study Bible and a set of free Christian books that can really help. The New Testament Recovery Version is one of the most comprehensive study Bibles available today. It's an accurate translation, and it contains thousands of footnotes that will help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free books are a three-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing growing in Christ and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. Or visit us online at bfa.org.
Looking for some truth? You found it.